Please pray with me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In recent weeks, we've been looking at the words of Jesus, words that reveal important things about who Jesus is. I am, Jesus told us. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate of the sheep and the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. So I saved the vine for this day. Jesus said, I am the vine. You are the branches. In planning this series, I was thinking about the many ways that we are connected as a church. It seemed like a good place to end the series, to look at the connections among us, about who we are, what makes us one church. An example of that, of course, is our bringing our pledges, our commitments to the church and to its budget, its ministry, its future. In bringing pledge cards for next year's budget, we are lifting up our connection to one another and to Christ through the church. It wasn't the connection that I was planning when I started this sermon series, but it felt good that it happened that way, that pledge dedication would happen on the day we look at I Am the Vine. The reality is that if we take our connection seriously, and I promise you that I do, and your session does, we know that we are vitally linked together as a church. All that we do here is ministry that we do together. I don't do it for the church. The elders and the deacons don't do the work for the church. We do it together, all of us. We are all branches of the vine, and the vine is our Lord Jesus Christ. The connection is very real when we support the budget of the church, but it is just as real when we pray for one another and when we engage in mission and in education and in fellowship and in the joy of worship. We are connected when we sing and when we laugh and when we reach out to people and a world in need and when we pray. We are connected because we are all connected through Jesus the vine. A friend of mine told me some years ago how he once planted bean seeds with the children of the church during the children's time. He used a pot of pretty good soil. And he and the children each pressed a finger into that soil and dropped in, each one of them dropped in a seed. They covered it up. And he promised those kids, like I might promise you all sometime, he promised those kids he would come into the church during the week and water the pot of soil with the seeds in it. And it turned out by the next Sunday, the seeds had sprouted. So there was a pot of little green sprouts for the children to look at and be interested in. And over the next weeks and over the next months, the seeds they had planted together grew. And that pastor left that pot at the front of the church, like putting a pot here and left it. And the plant started growing and cascading down the steps and running a vine around to reach for the choir and the piano and the pews. I think they had to kind of train it up onto the banister. You can picture what it might have looked like. I don't think it was a church quite like this one, maybe. But to their surprise and to their delight, there in the church sanctuary, a plant began to flourish. It became a lush green vine. Cascading across the front of the worship center, it became a piece of natural beauty that all the church could see and reflect on as the plant grew. Do you imagine they complained? Of course they did. When is the preacher going to get rid of that plant? Well, I never saw that plant myself, but I have imagined it, as I hope you are imagining it. Imagining how the church might have seen that plant as an image of themselves as a church. Seeds planted and tended and growing together in worship and in service by the grace of God. What a thrill. What a delight to watch the plant flourish, vividly showing the amazing, abundant grace of God in and among that healthy congregation. Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches that grow out of the vine, that connect us, that reach out and extend through the world. So we flourish with leaves and flowers and fruit based on how well connected we are to that main vine and to one another. Ask anyone who has suffered injury or illness or distress, who has depended on the prayers of the community of the church. Ask them what that meant to them. Ask them how well the church lifted them up and supported them through long, hard days when they themselves could hardly stand and sometimes could hardly pray. Ask ministries like Cedarkirk, our church camp and conference center, or ask Bethel, our ministry to and with farm workers, or ask RCS, the religious community services here in Clearwater and Largo, or ask our treasurer and the elders on our administration committee. Ask them, how well do we manage as a church when we are not connecting well with each other? You see, the church and its ministries are only able to function when and because the people of the church support their work with gifts. And the people give, you give, because the church and those ministries are a reflection of what we believe Christ Jesus has called us to do in the community and in the world. With our gifts that may be in offering plates, or our gifts that are lodged in our heart and our mind and our hands and our feet and our voices. All in all, it is true that Hope Church can only flourish as we stay connected to Christ and to each other. As we engage in meaningful, sacrificial and honest ministry, as we tend one another and as we pray for the world. I am reading a book. I may tell you about it some more sometime. It's a book called Canoeing the Mountains, written by Todd Bolsinger. It's a book on Christian leadership. It's based on Lewis and Clark's expedition out west looking for the Northwest Passage, the water passage to the Pacific Ocean. Well, is there a water passage to the Pacific Ocean? There is not. So when they hauled their canoes all the way to the end of the Missouri River, ready to drop it in the passage to the Pacific, what they saw over the top of the next rise was the Rocky Mountains, layer on layer on layer of mountains, where canoes would do them no good. And Todd Bolsinger says the church is on top of that ridge, looking down, trying to find a new way in the world, because the world is no longer like we thought it would be. So here are some tidbits from that book. Bolsinger says, Christians have answered the call to follow the Master who calls us friends, his friends, and gives us to each other as brothers and sisters. The mission of Jesus is expressed to the world through the love the disciples have for each other. So, insofar as you and I love one another and learn to express that love for one another, the world will see the reality and call of Jesus Christ. So Bolsinger talks in this book about the uncharted territory the church faces in today's world, a world that is so changed from what most of us knew growing up. And Bolsinger writes about the challenges the church faces as it seeks to continue to do ministry in this very new and very different world. And Bolsinger says, only meaningful work together, only meaningful work together develops the kind of relationships and connections that will endure into this uncharted territory. So whatever we do, we need to be sure that it is meaningful. It is work that we can do, meaningful work that we can do together. Together. So those relationships that will make a future for this and any church are seen in how the branches are connected in the vine that is Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, I had Barbara Whitman read a whole lot of verses in chapter 15. But think about what's in chapter 14. My grandfather, this grandfather with the stole, my grandfather told me when I was a girl that if I ever needed some comfort, I would find it in John 14. If you ever need comfort, go to John 14. In John 14, Jesus begins to tell his disciples that he will not be with them longer, that he will leave the Holy Spirit to be with them, but that he will be going away. And in the context of that, he ends that speech by saying, let us go forth. Let us go forth. If you know that he's not going to be able to go with you much longer, and yet you are still being sent forth, what is it that you will be doing? Rise, let us go hence. It is in that context that we see Jesus as the vine, and we are sent out as the branches that will bear fruit in a world that needs that fruit, that love, that example together. Bearing fruit in the world for the sake of Jesus Christ, being in mission together, being the church. So, my friends, Jesus is the vine, and we in the church are the branches. We flourish and we bear fruit when we are connected. When we are working together on ministries we believe are meaningful and true to the call of Christ. And yes, we do all worry at times about the church. Well, we should worry because it is a new and different world. Canoes won't help as we face the mountains. But we know that the church will flourish and bear fruit, especially and only. The church will flourish and bear fruit, especially and only when we are connected to Christ and to one another in meaningful ways. And so I want us to hear once again the words that Jesus says. And I will invite us to hear them one at a time. Tim, what word have you heard?
I am the bread of life.
Bob Reed, what word have you heard?
I am the light of the world.
Jenny Howard, what word have you heard?
I am the gate of the sheep.
Mary Ellen Nichols, what have you heard?
I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Rebecca Koval, what word have you heard? Bill Alsman, what word have you heard? He is our God. He is the vine. We are the branches. Let us pray. We thank you, O God, that you are indeed the vine that connects us to your Son and to one another. We are thankful that you are the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that you, the three persons, are also the one God, and that you have called us to know and love you because you know and love us. We thank you for the gifts of those who have served our country in armed forces, in the Army and the Air Force and the Navy and the Marine Corps and in the Merchant Marine. For those who are first responders who give of their skill and life that others may be safe. For the work of veterans who often have been injured themselves or lonely or left alone or have suffered the post-traumatic stress that cripples them for life. And yet we are grateful people for all that those veterans have meant for us and for peace in the world. We pray, Lord, with Susan Huddleston, giving thanks for her sister Bonnie, who has now completed chemo and radiation, who's had her port removed and is now determined to be cancer-free. We pray with Susan that Bonnie's health may continue to be strong. We join in Tyler in praying for his dear friend Sally's father, who hurt his back this week. We pray for Mark Swaim's family as he comes to have a CAT scan and learn what treatments he will face in his fight against cancer. We pray for our church members, for Chris and Nancy and Kevin, for Ron, for our pastor nominating committee, for Linda Kent and her recovery from surgery. We pray for our homebound, for Eleanor and Rod and Jesse and Ray and Marie, for you know their lives and what their needs are. We pray for Shelley and Olive and Annie and Stacy, for Nancy and Scott, for Joyce and Sue, for Kathy and Bill, for Christine, for Diane. We pray for all those whose names are written on our hearts, whose needs are known to you. We pray, Lord, that this world may be a place where peace may take root and flourish like a plant connected to a vine, that the seeds of peace may be found in us, that the seeds of peace may spread in our community, in our state and nation, and throughout the world, and that we and all those who call on your name may know shalom, peace, and well-being. You know the prayers of our hearts, O Lord. We lift them up to you as we pray using the words that Jesus taught his disciple, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Before we sing our hymn, I would like to invite those who have served in the armed forces of our nation to stand that we may thank you. Stand if you have served in the Army or the Navy or the Air Force or the Marines or the Merchant Marine. Did I leave any of those groups out? And the Coast Guard. And the Coast Guard. Thank you. Thank you for serving. I love thinking about the men and the women who have served our nation, who have served at home and overseas, who have served in places of and moments of danger, who have known what it was to be separated from their families and from their homes. We thank you. Let us come to sing as we are partners in Christ's service.